All right, I think just to begin with, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5. I don't know how long we're going to stay there. I could probably tell you if I studied this for a few minutes. But at any rate, go to Galatians 5 to begin. Today we're going to talk about choosing life. Choosing life. The life that's in Christ. That's the life we want to choose. Why? Why do you think we want to choose that life? It's eternal. It's eternal life. And it's a good life because we're with the Lord. We're in His kingdom. We're in His house. We're with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How could it get any better than that? I mean, we often wonder about the things we're going to see, the things we're going to be doing, and those kind of things. I don't know. Once you see the Lord face to face, you know, what else matters really?
Amen.
That's enough joy right there. I think to last for a long, long time. So today we're going to talk about choosing life in Christ. That's what we all need to do. That's what probably all of you have done. But if you haven't, or if you don't remember when you did that, you can reassure yourself with doing that all over again, just trusting Him again. So let's go to the Lord before we start the message. Father, we love You. We know You love us because of what You did for us on Calvary, sending Your Son there to give Himself totally for our forgiveness and our redemption. Lord, we think it doesn't get much better than that, but one day it is going to get better than that. You're going to return. You're going to take us to Your home, the one we've never seen, Lord, the one we'd never expect to see until we leave this world through death. But Lord, You may come again and take us before we experience in that. And Lord, I think we'd all be happy to have that happen. So we thank You that You are the gift of eternal life and that You freely gave Yourself to make sure we had access to that. Lord, You gave Your Holy Spirit to love us into making a positive decision to choose the life that's in You. And Lord, I pray that more and more people would make that choice, a choice of the love You gave them, the eternal life You can give them. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would become more and more bold to step out in faith and tell people the good news that You brought life to them and they can have it if they'll follow You, worship You, accept You as their God. Lord, help us to do that. It's imperative. You said Yourself, go and make disciples. And so, Lord, help us to do just that so we can say we were faithful. We followed the Lord's commands. We did what He asked us to do. And we are at ease with where we're at there in glory. Be with us now, Lord, as we look into Your Word. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Walking in the Spirit. Do you know what it is? Oh, there's all kinds of things out there that say this is walking in the Spirit. You got to do certain things. You got to be able to say certain things, things you don't even understand. It just comes out of your mouth and you don't know even what it is. Is that really choosing life? Choosing life is walking in the Spirit. That's what choosing life is. Walking in the Spirit is choosing life because it's you and I, believers, yielding to the Holy Spirit. We are yielding to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Well, why would we do that? Because the Holy Spirit is God in us. Does it get any better than following God? I mean, what other assurance would you like to have? God in you and following Him. And we do this how? By yielding to the Holy Spirit. He prompts us. Oh, most people say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. Well, He didn't really speak audibly, but He nudged you. He led you. He got you to go a certain way, do a certain thing. He led you. And you accomplish what He was leading you to do. Because you want to be a good and faithful servant. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that what we all want to be for Jesus? That's what we all should be striving for. So walking in the Spirit should be the biblical norm for believers. We should all be walking in the Spirit all the time.
Amen.
Well, what am I saying? That we should all be yielding ourselves to do what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do. And you can ask Him, you know, if He prompts you to do something, you can say, really? Are you sure? He'll let you know. And then be obedient and follow Him. Amen? Walking in the Spirit is the biblical norm. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, as Galatians 5:25 says. Walk in the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit led us to a new life by the new birth. Did you put that together? You were born again. That means the old life is gone. The new life is now begun. The life in Christ via the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're at now in our walk with the Lord. Yeah, it is kind of warm in here, isn't it? I thought it was just me. Who's got the key? You got the key?
Yeah, 72.
Oh, it's 72 in here? Okay, 72. We'll suffer together. Okay. So, we live in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit, as Galatians says. In other words, the Spirit led us to a new life by the new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are born into the Spirit of God now. He should be your leader. You should be following Him, listening for Him. When you get up in the morning, you should be praying to the Lord and asking the Holy Spirit to guide you through your day. And then wherever He takes you, whatever He asks you to do, follow Him. Do it. You won't regret it. You won't regret it, I guarantee you. That's John 3:6, and we must choose to live day by day in the Spirit. That's why I say it's not a one-time choice. You chose to be born again. You chose to have faith in Jesus Christ and trust in His sacrifice for you. That's wonderful. That is a one-time experience. He doesn't need to go back to the cross over and over again to save you over and over again. One time is sufficient. The blood of Christ is so powerful that it only takes the one time of faith.
Amen.
And then you can walk with Him in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
We must choose to live day by day in the Spirit. You're hearing what I'm saying? It's a choice. We have a choice. And it's not just when you get up in the morning, today I choose to live by the Holy Spirit. No, all day long you're going to have things coming at you. Am I going to do this, which is what the Spirit would want me to do, or am I going to do this, which is what I want to do? So you have to make that choice time after time. To walk in the Spirit means that we yield to His control. We give ourselves up and what we want to do, our desires, to what He wants. Amen? We yield to His control. We follow His lead. We allow Him to exert His influence over us. How does He exert His influence over us? I just said you probably don't hear Him audibly. Right here. Here's His influence over us. If you're not reading this, studying this, trying to get into it and remember it, what are you doing for Jesus? You're just walking in a cloud. I'm in His forgiveness. That's it? No, there's more to it. There's more to it. Amen? We must, in order to walk with Him, we must yield to His control, follow His lead. To walk in the Spirit means we must drop some baggage. We all got baggage, whether we want to admit it or not, okay? He's saying, drop the baggage. You don't need that anymore, right? Ephesians 4:30-32 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." He's made you ready for the day of the Lord. Let all bitterness, these are things we're dropping, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know what malice is? It's the mindset that I'm going to do damage to someone. I'm going to hurt them some way to benefit me. Put all that away, right? Put all of that away. If you're not sure what some of those things are, just think of it this way. All my pride and selfishness. I'm going to put away my pride and selfishness. And you'll pretty much cover everything that was in that list. Start living and doing for the Lord. Amen? So instead of being involved in those things, go to verse 32. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted." That means have empathetic understanding. Don't be so quick to jump on somebody for something. Try to understand that we're all dealing with things. You can't see them. You can't see the things that I dealt with this morning just to get to this point. But it's all good. Because every time I thought, "Oh, am I going to get that done?" He will help me. I can depend on Him. And He's gotten us to this point, hasn't He? And we're smiling and we're happy and we're singing. So it can't get much better than that, right? Unless He came right now and we all took off to glory. That would be pretty interesting. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He forgave us. We didn't deserve it. We'd done nothing to merit His forgiveness. But He loved us as part of His creation. He loved us as actually the top of the creation. He loved us. And so even though we were sinners, denying Him and living a life of who knows what, He gave Himself for us and bought us back from the sin in which we were involved. So you forgive and you love, and that's how you walk in the Spirit. Forgiveness and love. Walk in the Spirit. Please, please walk in the Spirit. You'll be happier. Everyone around you will be happier. First, they won't understand it. What happened? You know, that's okay. Keep doing it. Pretty soon, they'll want to imitate what you're doing because they'll understand life is better that way. Life is better that way if I don't put myself first in everything.
Amen.
All right? So, that's how you walk in the Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit, choosing life in Christ. That's what life in Christ is, showing kindness and love. It doesn't mean you stand there and get punched over and over again. No, I'm not saying that. There's a time to move away from some things. Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you. But the way you win is by showing love and kindness. And you don't have to be right there in the middle of things to show that. Try it. There's also walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, Paul writes, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh." Walk by the Spirit. Well, what's the difference? Walking in or by the Spirit sounds pretty much alike, doesn't it? Here's the difference. When walking in the Spirit, believers must choose moment by moment. Moment by moment, day by day, to live in the Spirit and be obedient to Him. To walk in the Spirit means that we yield to His control over and over again. We're obedient to it. We follow His lead and we follow His influence over us without question. There's the hard part. Without question. And I already told you, you can give them a little sure. Really? That's okay. He won't beat you down because you asked him to clarify a little bit. Go ahead and walk with him, right? Living in the Spirit. We yield to his control. We follow his lead. When walking in the Spirit, the believer has given up the things of the flesh. Oh, maybe you were just living to buy that new bass boat. You know you can't afford it. You know the family doesn't really need it, but you just want that bass boat. Give it up. It's cheaper to go to the fish market and buy that fish to fry, right? You'd be far ahead, far ahead. How do I know this? I've been there, okay? Give the Holy Spirit control. Follow His lead. When walking in the Spirit, we give up the things of the flesh. They are living a righteous lifestyle. When we do that, it's a righteous lifestyle. That's where we want to be. That's walking in the Spirit. They've totally given their desires, ways, and thoughts over to control of the Holy Spirit. It's no longer what I want. After all, I died. I even got in the baptism and said, I'm dead to me. Watch, I'll prove it. Under the water I went. Came back up new. Right? That's what we said. It's not us anymore that lives. It's Him living through us. The expression, walk by the Spirit, is a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Yes, go back to your English class and see if you can remember what that means. That Paul uses to describe the way in which believers are called to live. Believers are called to give total control. I just want to let that sink in. Because total control means total control. He's making all the decisions. Oh, you're going to present the scenario, but He's going to decide which way it's going to go. And you're going to walk that way. That's really what we should be doing as believers, isn't it? Total control of our heart, our mind, and our actions we're giving to the Holy Spirit. Do you think He knows better than we do? Do you think that He can see a little further into the future than we can? I'm pretty sure He can. And I'm pretty sure that's why He says, hold on now. Wait a minute. Think about this. Meditate. Pray. I'll get back to you. We are called to walk by the Spirit, to live a righteous lifestyle. A righteous lifestyle. What does that mean? It means walk by the Spirit. Be right with God. Follow His direction. Follow His leadership. That's what it means. We are called to walk that righteous lifestyle. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's what the Scripture says. So we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Those words of the Holy Spirit written through the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit gave us new life, didn't He?
Yes.
He led us to give our faith and trust to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept the new life we have in Him. That's what we did. We got that new life, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We're no longer caving into the flesh. We're putting that to the side and saying, no, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. That's where I want to be. And we must yield to the sovereign control and influence of the Spirit over our life in order to live in righteousness. You want to live a righteous life? Yield to the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, I want to go do this. Lord, should I go do that? Should I wait and see if it's going to be okay? Ask Him. It means yielding to Him, asking Him if that's the way to go. Well, sometimes you don't have time to wait, do you? Sometimes you have to do something almost immediately. So what do you say then? Lord, lead me by Your Spirit in this. I don't want to go through this alone, and You won't if you call on the Holy Spirit, all right? We must yield to His sovereign control and influence over our lives to live in righteousness. I can go out and do whatever I want, but it won't be righteous. I guarantee you that. Because I'll be doing it in the flesh. If I want to do it righteously, I have to say, Lord, lead me. By Your Holy Spirit, lead me in those things You want me to do. I want to live for You, Lord.
Amen.
I give in. I'll take Your leadership. That's what we need to be doing. We must yield to His sovereign control and influence over our lives. In other words, the Holy Spirit should direct all of our thoughts, actions, and decisions. All of them. Where does it start? Well, I think I'll do this today. Starts with a thought, doesn't it? And then you run it through your mind about, how do I think that's going to work out today? And then my heart wants to get involved and say, is that really what you think the Lord wants you to do today? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I'm just saying, give Him time. Ask Him and see what response you get. You might be surprised, right? But we should be under His sovereign control. The Holy Spirit says it this way, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Some of you may be familiar with this. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Doesn't do God any good to have a dead sacrifice. He can't use a dead sacrifice, right? When we're disobedient to the Holy Spirit, that's what we are. We're a dead sacrifice. He can't use us. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Because we're not following Him. And God can't use us. We need to be a living sacrifice. One that's walking, talking, breathing, doing the things that the Scripture wants us to do to further the kingdom of God. That's our business. Go and make disciples. Go and tell the good news. Jesus loves you, gave Himself for your sins, He's redeemed you and bought you back. You'll be with Him forever. If you trust Him, if you say yes to Him and start walking in the Spirit, holy, acceptable to God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That means we're set apart in this world so we can be acceptable to God. Not to the world. It's okay if the world doesn't like you, doesn't want you to participate. You don't really want that anyway as a believer. You want to be acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service. After all, God served you by sending His Son Jesus Christ to the cross to buy you back from sin. So it's only reasonable that we would at least make the effort to live a holy life, sacrificing it to the Lord, doing good for Him. Well, what is that? What is doing good for the Lord? Do you have any idea what that is? It's giving His message of love, of the gospel, of telling people the good news. It's that simple. It's not you have to give your life to the missionary field and go out and leave your whole family behind. You might not ever see him again. For some people, yeah, that's it. Not for most of us. For most of us, it's worship the Lord every chance we get. And when we go back to work and do our weekday thing, we're conscious of His presence with us. And we bring Him into the conversation whenever we can. Sometimes we can't. Some workplaces don't want you talking about that at work. But you might talk about it on your lunch hour or after work, right? There are places and times you can give the good news. I encourage you to do it. And then it goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've been born again. You have a new mind. All it's saying here is live according to that new mind. Feed that new mind. Use it to get all the information you can about how the Lord wants you to live and follow the Holy Spirit. He'll show you how to use all that information. So I'm standing here looking at a bunch of sponges. Yeah. Your sponges. You're soaking it all in. And you're filtering the information. That's what sponges do. They take it in, they filter it, and they put out something, right? But what you need to put out is what the Holy Spirit wants you to put out.
Amen.
Go where He wants you to go. Say what He wants you to say. Present the Lord the way He wants you to present it. It could be different for different people. That's okay. We're all not just sponges. We're tools in the Lord's toolbox, aren't we? And He can use us that way. So don't be conformed to this world. Transform by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that the Lord Jesus Christ is real. You may prove the Holy Spirit is real. You may prove God Almighty is real. That He created this place and He controls this place and He calls us to be involved with Him in this place. We have to be involved with the world. You can't live in a closed shell and not be involved, right? You have to live. But don't live by the world's standards. Live by His standards and follow Him. Amen? The perfect will of God for people. What is the perfect will of God for people? Do you know what it is? You've experienced it. That's it. The perfect will of God for people is that they be born again. Born again. Redeemed. Bought back. Now you're in God's family. But that's not the end of it. Coming to church isn't the end of it. Sitting in a pew, soaking it all in is not the end of it. You're also called to go out and give away what you took in here. Give it away. I don't know if I can do that, Brother Dan. I have a hard time talking to people. I have a hard time talking to people. If my parents were still alive, you could ask them, how were their kids when they went out in public? Couldn't get us to say a word. We were so shy. We didn't want to be the ones up front attracting any attention. Now you can't get us to shut up, you know? And that's okay if we're talking about the Lord. That's what we should be talking about, right? We're born again, so we are walking now in the Spirit. Oh, I don't want to walk in the Spirit. Well, you can make that choice. But the Spirit won't give up on you. He won't say, okay, you chose not to walk with me. That's okay, fine, go on your own way. No, He doesn't work that way. Because He is love. How do I know the Holy Spirit is love? Because the Scripture says, God is love. Is the Holy Spirit God?
Amen.
He is love. And His love won't let Him say, adios, good luck. No, He's going along with us. And He's saying, oh, come on, walk with me, listen to me. Hey, this will be the best thing to do. Come on, will you do it with me? See, that's the Holy Spirit. So we walk in the Holy Spirit, and that's walking with God. And we're transformed from living in the flesh to a life of righteousness. Not even our righteousness. It's not our righteousness. We can't be righteous. We're in the flesh, right? But we can make the attempt, and the Holy Spirit will help us make the attempt. And when this is all over and all said and done, guess what? We'll go to glory and we'll be righteous. We'll be righteous. We'll be totally righteous there because we won't have this flesh to hold us back at that time. Yes, praise God. Now, living by the Spirit, not just walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, you are able to consistently walk with God consistently, daily, moment by moment, right? The more you give yourself over to the Spirit, the more you walk with Him and interact with Him. The more He can lead you to do those things for God that you want to do. Now, I know you have ideas in your mind that you want to do things for God. Walk with God by walking and living by the Spirit. Imagine that you and a close friend are enjoying a walk down a country lane. It's a beautiful autumn day, right? It's not too cold. It's not too hot. The humidity's just right. And you're loving every minute. Imagine that you are enjoying that walk. You are in close proximity to your friend. You're talking. You're laughing. You're listening to each other. You're encouraging each other to live for Jesus. You're even quoting some Bible verses that help you focus on the Lord. And you're focused on your friend to the exclusion of almost everything else that's around you going on. You notice every now and then, occasionally, you point out to your companion the beauty around you that you're sharing together. You are in harmony and you both enjoy the peaceful walk together in the camaraderie that you're sharing. Walking with God is like that. If it's not like that, then examine your walk. Make it like that. Give in to the Holy Spirit. It won't get any better. Life won't get any better than when you give in to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, there'll be some changes. There'll be some house cleaning that you'll have to do, but it'll all be good. Hebrews 10:22 says this, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Then you're ready. You're ready. The Lord comes, you're ready. The Lord calls you to do something, you're ready. Ready to do His bidding. When we enter into an intimate, heartfelt relationship with God through faith in His Son, He becomes our heart's greatest desire. And you'll notice things that you used to want to do, you don't want to do that anymore. They're falling by the wayside. Knowing Him, hearing His prompting, sharing our hearts with Him, and seeking to please Him become our all-consuming focus. You can't wait to get to fellowship and start sharing with your brothers and sisters. You can't wait to go out and tell the good news to people. They need it. You have it. Give it away. Won't cost you a dime. Might cost you some friends, but that's all right. You can still work on them and hopefully win them back. Amen? Make Him our all-consuming focus. Don't worry. You, your wife or husband, they'll benefit from this. They'll wonder what happened. And then when you let them know that you're walking in the Spirit now, maybe they'll want to join you there. Hopefully, they'll want to join you there. And that's okay. You teach them how to do it. You show them how to do it. Jesus becomes everything to us. Meeting with Him is not an activity reserved just for Sunday morning. But He's always on our mind, going where we're going. And we have a yearning 24/7 to be with Him, to live in fellowship with Him, to walk with Him.
Amen.
Can you imagine walking with Jesus? Just think about those two disciples that were going back to their home after the crucifixion. And Jesus was walking with them, talking to them. They didn't even recognize Him. Until the last moment. Here, let's have some dinner. Break bread with us. And when He did, they knew Him. Believers should be constantly in touch with the Spirit. Do you agree with that? How are you constantly in touch with the Holy Spirit? You just Think about Him. Know He's there. Pray. You don't have to pray out loud. You can whisper a prayer in your mind. He's there, right?
Yeah.
Fellowshipping with Him, communicating, waiting for Him, that He is guiding, moving us to action. We have help to know His direction, don't we? We have the Scriptures, first of all. That helps us know what the Holy Spirit wants from us. So we have the Scriptures. And, you know, think about it. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that. They had to lean on one another and how God was communicating with them. And some in the New Testament didn't have that. For years, there wasn't a complete Bible. And then they got it all together and decided this is what's going to be in the Bible and we can use this for God's Word. And that's what we're doing today. We're using what holy men of old decided should be in the Bible. And that's what we're using. So we now have the complete Bible, the inspired Word of God to read, study, and meditate upon. Now, I'm not saying we have all the knowledge of God. I'm not saying we know everything about God. I think when we arrive in glory, we're going to be flabbergasted. We're going to see things we never, ever could conceive of seeing and going places. It's going to be incredible. Unimaginable, actually, is what it's going to be. All Scripture, this is what 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work, right? That's why you should have this Scripture open all the time, looking at it, reading it, meditating on it. It's there for you. God gave it for your benefit. The Scripture is our constitution and our how-to manual. When we have a question or decision to make in our lives, we seek the answer where? In God's Word. Yes, we pray and ask Him to show us. What's He going to do? He's going to lead us to His Word and show us the answer. Try Him. Try Him. See if it doesn't work that way. He has taught in His Word that we should seek Him there. God speaks to us according to Titus 1:2. This is what He says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. God never lies. He's good. He leads us into goodness, and He uses His Word to do it. To hear God's voice, we must belong to God. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. So if you haven't experienced that, you need to, or you're not going to understand the Scripture. You're not going to understand the directions the Holy Spirit wants to give you. So when people say, hey, I just can't understand that Bible. I've tried to read it, but I don't get it. I don't understand it. What are you going to say? Have you been born again? Have I been what? Born again. Have you trusted the work of Jesus on the cross to save you from the wrath that you deserve because of your disobedience? When you do that, your understanding will open up.
Amen.
You have to have that. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. Those who hear God's voice are those who belong to Him.
Amen.
Those who have been saved by His grace through faith in Him. How did your faith start? By the Holy Spirit speaking into your mind and your being that you need this. You need God's Word. You need Jesus. He is the living Word of God. You need Him. When the Bible speaks of walking, it often refers to a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. We have walked in the lifestyle of the world. We have all walked in that lifestyle.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:2 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Yes, we followed the world. We didn't know any better. But eventually we got the message, didn't we? You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know who that is, right? Yes. We didn't know any better, but we found out, didn't we? And that is the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who are the sons of disobedience? The unsaved people that refuse Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stick my neck out here a little bit, and I'm going to say it's people who confess Christ but don't live Christ. They know who He is, but they're not following. They haven't given in to the Holy Spirit. They haven't really received the salvation they need. I'm not the judge of that. I can only deal with people from what I see of their actions. And if somebody seems like they need some encouragement in Christ, that's what I'm going to give them. And if it seems like they've got it together, then I'm going to treat them that way. I have the leeway to do that. I have the liberty to at least do that. But I can't judge them any further than that. Amen?
Amen?
You understand what I'm saying? We were lost sinners, weren't we? We were lost sinners. Yeah. That's our old lifestyle before our new birth. Now we are in Christ. You are in Christ. We're all at different levels in Christ because of us, our choices, the way we obey, the thoughts we have about what we ought to be doing. We need to turn all of that over to the Holy Spirit and let Him lead us to the place of obedience, consistent obedience. Now you have a new life, a new lifestyle. What is that lifestyle? Walking in the Spirit. That should be our lifestyle. New Testament walking with God is called walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say," you know what? This is the Holy Spirit talking through the Apostle Paul. It's the Holy Spirit's word. "I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by me, the Holy Spirit." That's what it's saying. "And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." You'll stay on track. You'll keep walking in the Spirit. You'll keep doing those things the Lord wants you to do to glorify Him and draw others to Him. That's what our life should be. Drawing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. To walk in the Spirit means we choose. Yes, we choose consistently to glorify the Lord in every way we can. Every way we can, what does that mean? That means every way and any way the Spirit prompts you. Do it so you can glorify God. Glorify the Lord. That's what He wants you to do. We choose to do it in every way we can, regardless of the cost. Yes, there might be some cost. In fact, I can pretty much tell you there will be some cost.
Amen.
Walking with God also means we cannot walk with evil people as companions as we walk with Him. Psalm 1:1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners." We might have to drop some folks we hang out with a lot if they're wanting us to hang out where we know we shouldn't be. If where we're hanging out is bringing shame to the Lord. "Oh, I'm down at the bar, but I'm not drinking. I'm just there with my friends." But people see you there. They don't know what you're doing there. The born again choose the narrow road. They choose the narrow road of Christ over the broad way of destruction. We seek to eliminate from our lives everything that does not enhance our walk with Christ. If it's not lifting us up and drawing us closer to Him, we should work it out. Work it out of our lives. We are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, doing those things that bring glory to Him and please Him. Amen? We apply, we don't just know, we actually apply 1 Corinthians 10:31 literally. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God.
Amen.
The flip side of that coin is don't do anything that's offensive to others. You have to show them in love, not by offending them. God's ways are reflected in our thoughts, our actions, and the reasons that we do things. Our life choices show our relationship with the Lord. Because we spend so much time with Him, we can reflect Him. So what am I saying? The more time you spend with Him, the greater His reflection off of you will be to others. It's like you're with Him. You're shining the coin so that it shines out bright. Amen? What does the Lord want from us? He wants us to choose to walk in the way with Him. That's what He wants. Walk with me, and I'll show you how to live. I put it on the sign this morning. To live is Christ.
Amen.
To live is Christ. That doesn't mean you're going to give up everything in the world and you're going to be a downtrodden, oh, I'm so sorry person. No, that's not it. That's not the way the Lord wants you to live. He wants you to live happy, joyful, exuberant, sharing your faith.
No fear.
He wants you to live so that other people will come and say, how can you be like that? Don't you see what's going on in the world? How can you be joyful and happy? They just opened the door, didn't they? Walk right in. Talk this way. Tell them about the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Choose to walk in the way with Jesus. Choose Him. Choose life abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, be with us now. We're going to go back out into the world. We're going to be faced with choices. We know the Holy Spirit's right there with us, Lord. Help us to call on Him to empower us to walk in the way with You. So that, Lord, we bring honor and glory to Your name. And we even bring questions from others about the Lord, about You and how we can live for You and Your goodness to us. Lord, help us to do all those things for Your sake. That's why we're called to do it. We're called to share the good news. And we don't have to go out and browbeat people with it. We just need to go out and show the love. Show Your love, Your kindness, Your concern. And they'll come. They'll want to know. And Lord, we have the answer, don't we? Help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.